A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So it's Christmas Eve at this very moment in time. A sometimes jolly bearded fellow is, along with his greatest of men, going through a list and finding out who's been naughty and who's been nice. It may very well change the course of the months and the days to come. Not even talking about Father Christmas. Now, you better not shout, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because David Finlay, the leader of the Bullet Club, is coming to town. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas, everybody, from everyone's favorite rebel.
Everyone's favorite rebel. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. You know, I got the biggest match of my career coming up in about 10 days. But for right now, I'm chilling. I'm enjoying Christmas Eve with my family. It's all good.
What does a Christmas day look like in the Finlay household?
Well, at the Finlay household, my mom's trying to outdrink everybody. and it's trying to survive that, pretty much.
And is she winning?
Yeah, she's undefeated so far.
It's a special time of year. Do you have board games? Do you do party games? Or is it just drinking and eating and passing out?
It's opening presents very briefly, and then eating and drinking, and then usually I eat more than I drink because my mom makes a very mean sweet potato souffle that I can't get enough of. So I'm going to be smashing that, and then probably some peppermint cheesecake, and then I'll be a good boy the rest of the year.
That's it. Today, the calories don't count on Christmas Day.
That's what I've heard.
What we were taught. But hey, look, we're going to look away from Christmas Day and look ahead. And in some cases, look back. Because David, we're taking you to Cultaholic Island for a lovely winter break. And in doing so, we're inviting you to choose three wrestling matches to watch whilst you are there. We're going to go through your three matches as we chat today and talk about numerous other things, including Wrestle Kingdom, your time leading the Bullet Club, and whatever comes our way. But let's do match number one, David. What would you like your first one to be?
Well, here's the thing about favorite matches is I don't know why I would like anyone more than I like myself. So first up, Juice Robinson versus me at G132. I like this match because the first time I got to smack that mofo right in the head with my shillelagh, that's when I realized I really liked hitting people with shillelaghs. It's a satisfying feeling. I just feel alive, you know, when that club meets their jaw, you know, plus I won too. That's always good.
It's always good when you're in there testing yourself with somebody that you know so well. Of course, you and Finjuice very much took the tag team division on. It was last Wrestle Kingdom, I believe, that you were teaming up. What's the story behind how you and Juice came to meet at the beginning?
Yeah, we met in the dojo. Basically, we're in 80% of the same matches all year. Hotel rooms right next to each other, same travel schedule. And that's how it was for years and years and years until we eventually grew sick of each other. So...
Obviously, Juice Robinson is doing, he's been a busy boy in AEW. Are you keeping tabs on what Juice is up to and what do you make of it?
I see things through the grapevine. Seems like they're doing all right. Although, as the current Bullet Club leader, the only Bullet Club I care about is the Bullet Club War Dog. So, if you're not my dog for real, you're not my dog at all.
If you ain't a dog with Dave, you ain't a dog at all. I've been trawling through the dog's Instagram for today, David. I've been going through your gram. And we're going to take a little whistle stop tour of some of my favourites. There's a lovely photo of you and your dad in the ring together. It's the one where your dad is in the Belfast Bruiser gear. You're about no older than maybe four. You've got sandals, that emerald green ring attire with clovers on, your own mini world title. Out of interest, where did the ring gear come from for what I believe to be four-year-old David?
So I was actually like two there.
Wow, okay.
Not to, you know, get technical with it, but my mom basically like contacted whoever was making my dad's gear at the time and was like, do his, but David sized. And that was just like a common theme. I think my grandfather got me like a wrestling singlet when I was like, I don't know, a year old. So there's pictures of that running around. Like, I learned to stand by hanging on to the bottom ropes. My life has been engulfed in wrestling since day one.
That's another lovely photo that I saw. It's you and your dad, and you as a baby holding onto the ropes in the ring. There's also a lovely one where Fit Finley's carrying you with one hand, like you've been naughty at a theme park.
Like I'm groceries, basically.
You and your dad. When you have a famous family, it takes some time before the penny truly drops. Can you remember the first time watching your dad wrestle?
I mean, we were still living in Germany at the time. Like, I remember a big old tent and just kind of like snapshots of that. I do have a good story, though, of when I was five. My dad wrestled Chris Jericho for WCW. I think it was for a championship because I was very emotionally invested in this. And either my dad lost or, you know, it was a draw. I can't remember, but I remember getting backstage and yelling at Chris Jericho and crying and telling him that I hated him over and over repeatedly. So, you know, I had very strong feelings from very early on.
How did Chris Jericho react to five-year-old David Finley cheering him out?
I would assume that he would be scared and probably ran away.
Is that a story that you've shared with Jericho since?
Yeah, because I thought it was the finish of the match that I got mixed up. It was either my dad lost and it was a draw, or it was a draw and my dad lost. I can't remember, but he corrected me on that one. He's like, that's crazy that you remember that. But yeah, when he came over for the Tokyo Dome, I was like, hey, you probably don't remember this at all. And he was like, no, that's the only time I wrestled your dad. So of course I remember that. So
now,
somehow
the Finley family tree essentially grew inside a wrestling ring. You've been surrounded by it, grandparents, aunties, siblings, your dad. Was there pressure to be anything other than a wrestler, David?
No, there was no pressure to do anything else. There wasn't really pressure to wrestle either. It was kind of just like, do what you want, be good at it. You know, but I think coming up in wrestling, a lot of people, especially from the beginning, expected me to be my dad. I think some people still do, whether it be fans or, you know, people of power, which is why I think when I got the Bullet Club leadership role, you know, when I assumed the position, it wasn't anything new being compared to the past. It was something I was ready for and have been handling since day one.
I'm really excited to talk about your Bullet Club story very shortly, but I want to just quickly pull up another photo. It's a screen grab, this one. It's from what looks like the Notes app on your phone. It's your gap year itinerary starting January 28th, 2013 in South Africa. I'm keen to know what inspired you to make that gap year leap to South Africa of all places.
This probably doesn't age well, but so I grew up very, very fortunate. The house I grew up in was like 11,000 square feet, lakefront, whatever. Very nice. And I was like, this is a good life. Do I really want to wrestle? Because I just finished high school. I'm like, what do I actually want to do with my life now that I actually have to make a decision? So I was like, well, instead of figuring that out, I'm going to go forget about it for a year. I just kind of traveled throughout Africa doing like kind of a little bit of volunteer work. But a lot of it was just kind of like going and traveling the world and seeing different cultures and stuff. So about like first 6 months of it, sharing a tent with somebody, just kind of like camping around. And then the last 6 months I lived in Cape Town and actually found wrestling there. So,
because that actually, funny enough, that is my last photo from your Instagram, which is you wrestling at an outdoor show, I think for 4G Wrestling in Cape Town, landing a beefy old uppercut. Do you remember the moment that when you're on this gap year, sort of trying to remove yourself from the wrestling world and sort of connect with you? Do you remember the moment when wrestling came calling again?
Yes, I do. Randomly, WWE was doing a South Africa tour, which is rare And it was rare in those days too. Like, I think they only did it like once every 3 years. My dad happened to be on the tour, so I met up with him, just because I hadn't seen him in like 6-7 months. And I think PJ Black, formerly known as Justin Gabriel, was on the tour. He's like, "Oh, are you wrestling down here?" And I was like, "Nah." And I was living in Cape Town at the time, which is where he's from. So he was like, "Oh, give me a second." He like made a couple phone calls. He was like, "Here's the address. Go see this guy." And basically he hooked up wrestling for me. And then that was off to the races.
It just seems like you didn't even blink. It was a case of, "Oh, there's wrestling. Yeah, that's what I'll do. There we go."
Yeah. It was like, "All right, well, I mean, if I'm finding it all the way across the world, I guess I'm meant to do it." And I haven't regretted it since.
It's like it follows you, sir. It's like it follows you.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, let's do your second match then. So David Finlay versus Juice Robinson from the G1 was your first one. Have we got another David Finlay one in here, or is this something different?
Of course we got David Finlay matches. Yes! I like anyone else more than I like myself.
Go on then, hit us with it. Which is
all your, right, the second one from the same G1 of that year, which is 2022, G1 32. Will Ospreay versus David Finlay, where I beat Will Ospreay in a mere 15 minutes.
Now, you guys have quite the potted history as well. It seems to have followed you through. But why this one in particular over other matches that you've had in the G1? Is it just the speed in which you beat Will?
Yeah, and also, if we want to get real technical with it and real honest with it, that's the one time I beat him in singles action. So I'm not going to say I like the ones I lost better than the one I won.
The G1 has really given you some great opportunities to shine as a singles competitor. For when you were told like you're entering the G1, like how does the training and such change before entering a tournament like that?
So I got to see like 7 G1s come and go before I was able to go into it. And my takeaway every year was like, where do you get the gas tank to do that? Which I wanted the G1 for years. So like once, you know, New Japan Cup was over, is like, you know, you start training for it, you know, in hopes that you're going to get put in. So when I finally got put in, it was like, all right, cool. So I remember I would go down to the new dungeon in Tampa, would train with Natty Neidhart and TJ Wilson in preparation for my first G1. And like a lot of hit cardio, a lot of battle ropes. So it was just like, all right, I got to make sure that I can, you know, push the pedal to the metal and it's not affecting me. So I think my training worked off because I was able to keep up Will's pace in that match. I came out on top. So, but yeah, training for your first G1, it's like a lot. You don't know what you're getting into. You just hear like, oh, this is the hardest thing that anyone's ever done. Anyone that comes in and does it, it's like, that's the hardest thing I've ever done. See, it's kind of like, all right, you can only prepare so much and the rest is just trial by fire.
Was it a deliberate decision to go to the new dungeon to train for something which required that kind of attrition?
Yeah, it was deliberate. I had lived in Tampa at the time. I like being close to the beach. So they only trained like 45 minutes to an hour away from me. And I've been friends with Natty and TJ since, I don't know, long. I've known them since I was 13, probably, when they were in developmental. So it was a very easy, like, hey, you know, there's a lot of wrestling schools around, but I wanted, you know, top quality training. If I'm going to be wrestling a top quality tournament, you know, I can't be going around and training with guys that haven't really made it yet. I need people on my level or better. So yeah, that was a conscious decision of like, I think this is the best training that I can get. And it paid off pretty well, I think. I mean, I didn't win the G1, so there's always room for improvement, but I think my first outing was definitely a successful one.
A lot of times when people go to training schools, they do it to see those people that have maybe got multiple decades on them to teach them things they didn't know. But obviously, as you say, you were growing up with these guys, you know, since you were 13. Does that change your mindset at all about the lessons that you learn in there, knowing they're people that you grew up with? If you see what
not
I mean.
Really. The way I see wrestling is like, you just, no matter how much you learn, there's always more to learn, you know. And I've grown up. So I've been around the business 30 years now. I've been making money in it for 11. The more I know, the more I realize like, oh, I don't know that much. It's crazy. Like, I just feel like it's just this Pandora's box of knowledge that keeps opening up.
You mentioned it's been 11 years in the industry. Your very first match, which you no doubt have talked about before, was according to records, against the man known as Gunter now, which was Big Van Walter back in the day. Now, obviously, you know, he'd been doing the wrestling thing for a little while by that point, but hadn't reached his final form, if you will. But talk us through stepping in there officially with a guy that now has the pedigree like Gunter. Was there anything that you couldn't have prepared for in all your training?
Yeah, actually being in a ring is like, you can learn about it and you can be taught about it, but until you like get the tar beat out of you for the first time, you don't really know what you're getting into. I remember, so the whole story of me debuting was, my dad was like, I'm tired of wrestling, I'm going to retire, do you want to tag with me? And my dad will have the tendency to sometimes come up with an idea, it's a whimsical idea, and it never comes to fruition. So I assumed it was one of those, like, dad's not going to stop wrestling. Sure, I'll do it. Hadn't really trained that much, didn't have any gear. About 2 weeks later, he's like, we're going to Germany in like 10 days. I'm like, I am not prepared. He's like, you're going to wrestle this guy. His name's Big Daddy Walter. He likes to chop really hard. And that's all he told me. And boy, was he right. I remember like from like my chest and my neck were all purple. My jaw hurt the next day. Like, he beat the tar out of me. Like he does pretty much everybody. So that was my introduction to wrestling, was just getting my ass handed to me by Gunter.
That is a hell of an introduction as well. And then obviously on that same night, you do tag with your dad. What is some of the harshest criticism of your work, that your dad Fit Finlay has given you?
He's not very harsh in his words.
Well, maybe not criticism. Maybe sort of like some of the like tips that have stayed with you, things that have stayed with you that your dad has primed you on, if you will.
Make him earn it. You know, that's pretty much it. Be selfish. Make him earn it. He tells me that every time.
In terms of just when you're in the ring with them, just make them.
It's a fight. You know, make it a fight. We're in there to fight, you know, can't be afraid to get hit. He loves the old man wrestler saying of like, it ain't ballet, baby. But, you know, it is kind of, not that ballet is easy. I can't do it. But, you know, wrestling's definitely more hard hitting. That's kind of how he's taught me, is like, make sure you're hitting people hard.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We've talked about your dad, and you've got such a family pedigree in wrestling. A lot of people will go, David Finlay, you know, Fit Finlay's son. You're now the leader of the Bullet Club, one of the strongest factions in wrestling, and they have a litany of also very, very credible leaders. And there is a tendency sometimes to look to the leaders of the past rather than focus on the now. How do you thrive in situations where people may be looking past you?
Well, I think I was kind of primed to be in this position from day one of my life. You know, like I said earlier, people expect me, you know, some people, not all people, expect me to be my father, or they expect me to, you know. So I've coming into Bullet Club, it wasn't really any different of like being compared to somebody else. Like, I've had to deal with that my whole life. I can't help that. You know, it's just something I got to deal with. So whether it's you know, leaders of the past, my dad, whatever. I don't really care. You know, Bullet Club has had an incredible run. You know, it's been going for over 10 years now. All four previous leaders are greats. So definitely there's big shoes to fill, but like, I don't really care about the past. None of those accomplishments are mine. You know, I rebranded Bullet Club in my own image. I made the BC War Dogs, you know? So it's like, I'm making it my own. I don't really care about the past. I don't really care, you know, what people think. My only thing is like, I don't want people to like me. So everything I do is I will make sure you hate me.
And that they certainly are doing as leader of the War Dogs. We've seen them expand now to this point where they're a faction that sort of covers the wrestling industry. In numerous different promotions, we see versions or iterations of the Bullet Club having popped up. Where would you like to take Bullet Club into 2024?
I would really like to unmuddy the waters, you know? Like I said, my Bullet Club that I see is the Bullet Club War Dogs. That's the only one I really care about. The rest is whatever. It is what it is, you know? So if there's a way where we all duke it out, and War Dogs come out on top as they would, you know, that's where I'd like to see it go. But when I created the Bullet Club War Dogs, you know, the mantra was bring bodies, bring gold. So we're going to mess a whole lot of people up. And we're going to have a whole lot of championships. Like, that's the goal. That's always going to be the goal.
So we're toying with the idea of essentially a Bullet Club civil war then.
It wouldn't really be a civil war, would it?
I suppose it wouldn't. It'd be an uncivil war.
Yeah.
Over wrestling history, we've seen factions take center stage so many times. Bullet Club leading the way now, but then in the past we've had things like the NWO, we've had D-Generation X. For you though, David, what is it that makes a faction excellent?
I think the chemistry between the members. I think, like, when we're on the road, me, Maloney, Clark, Alex, Gabe, like, we're together 24/7 when we're in Japan. I usually am having to pull them off of people and keep them out of trouble as the leader, because I'm the only one that they actually listen to. They're all maniacs. But you know, like, we're together. We travel together. We have locker rooms together. Usually they give us our own floor together, hotels and stuff. So, like, I think what makes any faction click is going to be the teammates in the faction. Like, you're either going to be boys or you're not.
Which Finley family member would make an excellent addition to the Bullet Club, wrestling or non-wrestling?
Ooh, which one? So I guess we got my dad as an option, you know, the old wise man in this day and age, I would say, you know, 63 years old, although I wouldn't want to be on his bad side still. We got my little brother, who actually just signed to NXT. I'd probably go with my dad. I'll take experience over youth, you know. I would go with the old man. Taking the intimidation factor as well. Plus, his shillelagh is actually like way bigger than mine. He's still got
it. do you compare shillelagh sizes? Yeah, that's something for over Christmas.
Yeah.
You mentioned your brother there. Yeah, some great news for your family today, as well as your continued success and the plans for gold very early into January, which we'll talk about in a second. Brogan Finley joining NXT. Really exciting news. Have you imparted any brotherly wisdom on him as he sets out on his own journey?
Yeah, save your money. I'm really proud of him. He like just turned 21 this year. That was the age I was when I started the dojo, you know. He's been very good with like, I don't want to do what dad did. I don't want to do what you did. I want to be my own man. So, you know, I've been obviously trying to sweet talk him into like, hey, you could do Japan for a few years, but like he was like, nah, I want to go do my own path. So I'm very proud of him. I think he's going to be very successful in about 2-3 years. I'd say the Finleys are going to be running the entire industry.
Certainly feels that way. It's going that way. Has there been any, obviously a lot of people will ask you this, any similar conversations between yourself and WWE?
I mean, my only contact is my dad. My only contact needs to be my dad. So like, it's on one hand, it's never been talked about officially, but on the other hand, about every other time I go over for dinner, it gets talked about. Cause he's like, you know, you come work with me. So it's like, you know, when I've accomplished all I need to accomplish in Japan, maybe I'll entertain the option. But for right now, you know, I got a IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship to win and make world famous.
You have indeed, and we're going to touch on that in just a second. But before we do, I like to spring this on people. It's a nice little question, non-wrestling, to ask. It's nothing terrible, I promise. We always, as well as taking three wrestling matches, you can also take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item. I have a feeling the luxury item will be the shillelagh, but we'll talk on that in a second. But if you would take one movie with you to a desert island to watch all the time, what would it be, David?
Oh, that's a good one. One movie to watch on repeat. I'm between Hot Rod, because that was my favorite movie as a teenager. I love stupid humor. The Hangover, same reason. I love stupid humor. Or Interstellar, because sometimes I like to pretend I'm smarter than I am and just really think about a confusing movie.
Nice. Okay.
But I'm probably going to narrow this down and just go Hangover, because I can't get tired of that one.
It's a great film. It's you kind of get the end at the beginning and you just have to figure out how it all unfolds.
Yes.
I do like them.
Probably what the experience on the island would be anyways. Like, how did we get here?
Yeah, you'd have to find your way back. Yeah. How about an album, sir? What would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. What I've been playing on repeat, I've been in a kind of a nostalgia mood, playing the oldies. Not really oldie, not that old actually even, but I've been playing Nirvana Nevermind a lot recently, so I'll just go and stick with that one.
Nice. Any particular song on that album that really gets you pumped?
I mean, if depending on the situation, but you know, it Smells Like Teen Spirit never fails.
Good shout. You
know,
good shout.
If I'm like, you know, if I'm feeling down in the morning, not down, but tired in the morning, I'm like, all right, I got to get this workout in. Smells Like Teen Spirit gets me right where I need to be.
Beautiful. Luxury item.
How luxurious are we talking?
It can be, it can be a bed. I know some people have brought a bed with them in the past. Some people have brought a video games console. People have brought their pets. I spotted a cat tree in the background there. So if you wanted to bring, the cats or the dogs with you, you could do that as well.
All right, that's actually a pretty good one. Even though I have a cat tree, I'm not bringing my cat. She's more of a roommate. She only likes me sometimes, so she'll probably leave me stranded and not be very helpful.
That's what cats do, to be fair. My boy Pablo, it's just like he is just a roommate, and he'll just check in if he's hungry.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I get bullied for watching stuff until I give her treats. She doesn't respect me at all.
That's
but then I gotta feed my dog, and I my survival skills are minimal at best. So, you know, I'm just gonna bring a hammock, you know, the one where you can tie between two trees. I'm just gonna bring a hammock and just, you know, starve out the rest of my days in relaxation.
I like your style. I like your style. Hey, there's no relaxing in the new year. Wrestle Kingdom 18's on the way. It's you versus Will Ospreay versus Jon Moxley for the brand new IWGP Global Heavyweight title. Now, this, unbelievably, David, is the first time in Wrestle Kingdom history that you've challenged for a singles title, I believe.
That is very true.
What are some of your earliest memories of your opponents, Will Ospreay and Jon Moxley?
Well, Will Ospreay, my earliest memories were hearing about him when I was a young boy in the dojo. We had a big, tall, dumb idiot with us, who I'm not going to name. But he was like, basically really, really liked Ospreay's style and was like wanting to incorporate some of his style, some of Ospreay's style into his own, which we all thought was impossible. And we proved to be right. But not Will's been great for years. You know, he came in about a year after me, and his first tournament, you know, he won the Super Juniors as someone that's my age. We're like a week apart or something in age. So for me to be, you know, a young boy in the dojo, already been there a year, still trying to just graduate that to him, you know, same age as me, same experience level, but he's winning major tournaments already. Like, that's my first memory of Ospreay, is like, he's always been great. He's always been special. Everyone's known that, you know, there's been no disputing. He's broke the internet multiple times. That was the same year him and Ricochet actually broke the internet, you know? So Will's found a good way to stay, you know, keeping buzz around him, and just, you know, this year alone, I mean, he's had a crazy year. He's beaten Okada, Jericho, Kenny. I'm sure there's somebody else in there. He's done a lot this year. He's had a crazy year. So I'm excited to whoop his ass at the Kingdom.
And what about Mox? What's your earliest memory of Moxley?
Obviously the Shield. I didn't know about him until he was in the Shield. But like, I remember being on tour with my dad somewhere. I can't remember. It might have been the UK. It might have been South Africa. But just him being like an oddball, just off in the corner mumbling to himself, you know, and that's about it. Only other time I've really interacted with him was in Osaka when I smashed his head in with a shillelagh. But like, I don't really have much to say about Mox. He's accomplished probably more than Ospreay, honestly. He's been the bedrock of AEW. Will's obviously the new shiny toy. So, you know.
Obviously, you find yourself in a similar cramp. In the sense that you've got John Moxley, who's well established in AEW, you've got Will Ospreay, the shiny new toy, and then there's David Finlay, the brand new leader of the Bullet Club, the War Dogs, and a match that really is yours to lose. Like, what's on your mind going into a match for a new title like this with two people who very much have the eyes of the world on them on the Western side?
I mean, there's no denying this is make or break for me. You know, there's not too many more opportunities this big that I will come across if I don't absolutely nail this one and come out on top. You know, Moxley and Will's names are both synonymous with the IWGP US Championship, as well as, you know, other people that I really despise. And then, you know, Will fashioned the UK championship because he was like, I have no ties to, you know, the States. Why would I be defending a title for a country I don't even, you know, care about, which is kind of why I broke both of them.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, you know, in the UK, they tell me I'm American. I go to America. They're like, you're Irish. In Japan, they just call me a foreigner. So it's like, you know, like I've got no ties to anywhere. So I don't care about the flag on the belt. I know it meant a lot to Mox. I know it meant a lot to Will. So I want to break your shiny toys.
We leave Wrestle Kingdom 18 and you are the IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion. How would you like to build that legacy with that new title?
I've thought about this a lot. And the thing that comes to mind is like, so I'm the third David in my family. Like my dad and my grandfather weren't very original with naming anyone. So like David. So I'm the third one of those. I'm the fourth generation wrestler in my family. So again, someone else's footsteps. I'm the fifth Bullet Club leader. You know, more boots to fill. So this is my chance at, like, I get to finally be the first at something. You know, I get to cement my own legacy. No strings attached, no shadows, no anything. So, and you know, that's another reason why I smashed the old belts. It was like, I've vied for the US title 4 or 5 times unsuccessfully. So like, that's not my legacy. I got to create my own legacy from the ground up.
And we're excited to see you do that in 2024. Before we let you go, your third and final match, we've had you versus Juice, you versus Will. What's your final one, David?
My final one. And of course, again, I'm involved because why would I like anyone more than I like myself? Is myself versus Tama Tonga from Don Taku of 2023, earlier this year. I believe it was May. On one hand, why I like this match is I won the Never Openweight Championship, which is my first singles championship win in my career, major one at least. And secondly, and most importantly, this is where I put on display what happens when I don't care about anyone's safety. This is why I saved it for last. Things go my way. Mox and Will be leaving the Tokyo Dome in stretchers. You know, it's a triple threat match coming up. This match with me and Tama was one-on-one. I single-handedly powerbombed him into a mess, stretched out of the building. There I am, holding a championship high above my head. I hope the same happens at the Tokyo Dome. Twice as many bodies to powerbomb, but that's fine.
You can tell that your shoulders went up, like, exponentially higher when Tama Tonga was stretched out. Did that feel like a turning point for you?
Yes, and I think it's in contrast to who I used to be. I think if you look at my career in New Japan, I think there's a couple years there where honestly I struggled to find my footing. You know, and when I finally did, it was with Juice Robinson. But again, there's someone right there with me. And the spotlight was never on me and never fully on me. And I think people always saw me as this fun loving guy that, you know, likes to mess around, likes to have a good time, but like, that doesn't make money. You know, I'm in this to make money. You know, I grew up in a mansion. Once I have kids one day, they deserve to grow up in a mansion too. Can be having them living in a small house. So that was like, I told you motherfuckers. That was me going like, that's not the guy I am. This is who I'm capable of. I am a Finlay. My father made a legacy of snapping people's thumbs for asking their own question. Like, I am more dangerous than him. I am more dangerous than anybody. And that's why I was standing tall there, is because I proved it. No denying, undeniable. I am not the guy to mess with.
We are excited to see what 2024 holds, unless you're on the wrong side of Bullet Club. David Finlay, it has been a genuine joy to spend Christmas Eve with you, as aggressive as it has got. But that's what Christmas is about. It's about family and fighting. That's how we roll. We want to send people to, well, obviously Wrestle Kingdom coming up next year. If we want to find out more about what David Finlay's up to and they're not doing so already and they want to get in while the getting's good, how do people find you online, sir?
You can find me online, Instagram, Super Dave. Made that when I was 19, never changed it. Don't question it. Twitter, at the David Finlay. And because I'm 30, I don't have a TikTok because I'm a real man. And then if you want to watch Wrestle Kingdom, I believe you can watch on New Japan World, January 4th. Really, really early in the morning, probably for everyone that's not in Japan. But get up, watch it. Watch me whoop your favorite boys' asses. It's going to be a great time.
David Finlay, thank you for joining us on Cultaholic Island, and a Merry Christmas to you and the whole Finlay family.
Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.